Certainly thankful to be able to be here tonight, and I'm certainly thankful to know that it is well with my soul. I'm certainly thankful to know that, as I found it out as a 9-year-old boy, crawled underneath of a bench down there in Lebanon, Tennessee, that began to call out from the very depths of his heart. And I'm grateful for that today. I'm grateful for what I was taught as that 9-year-old boy. You find a lot of times in life now that there's people that have no clue about God. A lot of them say, yeah, they believe in him, but do they even really have a clue of who he is? And you find that a lot. But I was glad that as a young boy that I was taught and I was brought up this way, that that I knew the earliest memories I guess I ever had was that my pa tell me, he said, if you was ever lost, he said, then you just get on your knees and call out to the Lord. Now that's one of the earliest memories that I've got, but I'm grateful today for that memory there that I have. An early memory there that the only thing it ever really said was just call out and to depend upon the Lord. And I'm grateful today that I'm still doing the exact same thing that I was taught there as that little young boy. Now, I can get away from that really easy. I can get caught up in life, and I can get caught up with Michael's so-so problems, you know, and I can find myself moved really far away from that really, really quick. I could leave here tonight and we could have the biggest tear down he ever was, and I promise you before I make it out of that car, I could have myself off in the awfulest spot that ever was. Because my flesh, see, the devil, he'll get to bearing on that and he'll get to pecking at me, you see. And if I ain't careful, I've played right into it instead of doing what I know to do. I'll get to a spot there that I'll let him just beat at me and knock at me, and then finally that I've had enough, and then I'll break down and I'll say, Lord, get him away from me. I can't take this no more. But a lot of times I have to go through a lot of things so I can get myself into that spot so I can be humble and ask God to remove him. I can't do it on my own. That's impossible. For me to get rid of the devil on my own, if I start out with that notion right there, I'm in trouble already. You know, I'm going to be stuck with him for a pretty good while until I can find a spot there that I can get humble, and I begin to call out unto God, and I ask him, I say, now, I need your help to get him away from me. Because I guarantee you he's going to beat at you. If you ever start trying to do what you're supposed to do for the Lord, you ever change a path, you've been saved by God's grace, and you move down to that road where you know you're supposed to be on, there he's going to be. He's going to be knocking at you. He's going to be beating on you. He's going to try to drive you away from what you're supposed to be doing. That's his job. That's his job. And he does me this way quite often, and I'm sad to say it, I let him do it a whole lot more than what I should. I know today if I can get down and I get to where I need to be at, I can get him away from me. But a lot of times I can't do that because I'm caught up with things in this world, things that he has dangled there in front of my face, you see. He uses different devices on different people, you see. Whatever he can get a hold of you with, he's going to bring it in front of you, and he's going to make it look pretty to you, and you're going to be drug right off exactly where he wants you at. Now, different devices he'll use for different people. Brother Jeff said this morning that worrying was one of his worst. Alcohol and drugs and the life of that was one of my worst. It drug me off into a spot that I never thought I'd ever find myself at. But now you don't have to go to the lengths that I went to find yourself in that position. All you got to do is put something between you and God, and you keep doing that day in and day out and see where you find yourself at. You can sit right here on these pews Sunday after Sunday, but if you don't get to a spot where you're willing to let go and serve God in a manner that he deserves, guess what you're going to be? thing. You're going to be cold as a cucumber. And we're going to go one, and then we're going to say, well, how was meeting today? Well, I didn't get much out of it. Boy, it's cold. You ever thought that the reason why it was cold, it was because of you? It may not have been because of the service there. It's the spot that you're at in your life. I ain't got nobody to blame that myself, do I? When I find myself in those positions, I ain't got nobody to blame but myself. And the reason why is I've got a rule book right here that I've been taught to go by, that what I need to do in my life and how I'm supposed to direct it. And then when I get outside of that, I pay for those things. I got to read and studying some scriptures there, and you know, I'm grateful today that the job that I've had today, because I get to do a lot of studying now, you see. I get to do a lot of digging, and a lot of times I've got words in there that I may not completely understand, and then there's sometimes words that I understand fully, but I still look up the definition of it to see what it tells me, you see, because in different subjects and different references, it'll have the same word, but you'll have a totally different meaning, and I have to dig into that, and the only way that I can gain knowledge from God is to begin to dig myself and not take someone's word for it, is to get on my hands and knees and say, God, show me today. I spent many years sitting back and waiting to let somebody else tell me. And that's honest. I did it for a long time. You know, I thought, well, I go and I listen. I've been brought up this way. But it took real digging of my own today to find out what God has in store for me. And once I got to digging in it, boy, I got to see some things that I'd never imagined. You know, today would have been my dad's birthday, and I thought about that today, you know, and I think about time to time my dad, and I miss him, you know, the words that he would tell me. I would ask him about scriptures and things, and I could bring it to him, and he'd say, now listen, this is the way I look at it. He never did try to pinpoint his view on me. He'd say, now this is how I seen it, and now look at it for yourself. Now I miss them times right there, but I want you to understand something. God give us understanding in Daddy's leaving there that I never would have dreamed of if I hadn't had myself where I needed to be at. A look into death, as you might call. A look beyond of what I've ever seen before. And how it changed me. How it changed how I looked at things. I understand today that I'm going to be here for just a short while, you see. I'm going to take one breath one day, and that's going to be the lesson that I'll have to take. And I tell you where I'm going to wind up then. I'm going to be home, you see. I won't have to worry no more. I won't have to worry about studying. I won't have to worry about helping somebody else. My time then will be done. But let us work and let us labor while we're still here. The fields are wide, can't you see? If you can't open your eyes, look around, look about. You'll see these things. Get down and ask God for help with them. We're running out of time. We're running out of time. You know, Brother Barry said today that we're teetering, you know. I'd hate to say it, but I think sometimes our teetering may have done been done. It may done be sealed for us there that we've just went too far. Now it's going to be time to do a little proofing, you see. It may be time for us as God's people. We may have to be in caves a little while. We may have to dig around a little while. We may have to worry about losing our life for this a little while. It may be mine and yours time. That's very well true. Very well true. We got it pretty good today. Actually, we got it really good. We got it really good. We was leaving here at church today and we was hungry. We pulled in there at McDonald's pretty easy. dialed it up. Now they brought us the food, you see. We got it pretty easy, you see, today. I want to tell you something. Back in the times and the scriptures there, their life wasn't easy at all. And let me tell you something, what they done, they stuck with the Lord and they began to dig down because they knew a brighter day was coming. Whether it was on this side or the other one, they knew it was coming. They knew labor was coming. They knew they had to do it. It may be our time to put in a little work. It may be mine and your time to put in a little work. Well, we've sat back for so long. We've come in the church house. We've kicked back in the bench. We've thrown our arm on the back. And we've just waited. I tell you what, us as God's people, we have waited and waited, I believe, too long. What's going to get us to change? What's it going to take? Oh, I'd hate to think of what it may actually take for us, God's people, to get back to where they need to be at. No doubt in my mind it's going to take a great humbling. It may be come time for us as God's people, we may get a little hungry. We may get a little hungry. We look over at our children and we see their children are hungry and cold. What's it going to take? That's what I'm wondering. What's it going to take for us to get to where we need to be at? I sure ain't where I was, but I ain't where I need to be at either. I want to get just a little bit closer to Him today. I want to find myself walking with Him every day. Not when I just decide to. A whole lot of times in my life, it seems like it's convenient for when Michael wants it done. Has it ever been that way for you in your life? Is it convenient for you to do it whenever you decide you want to do it? Let something bad happen in your life and see what happens then. Boy, we'll come Mr. Crawling around then, won't we? Why can't we do that 7 days a week, whether the good times and the bad, you see? That's what God wants. He wants honor and glory from us. Amen. That's what He wants. God's people, He wants honor and glory from us. You know, I get to talking about the devil and how it get on us. And it take me over to the scriptures, you know, immediately there after that John over there that Jesus was baptized. And it said He went off on over there and that Jesus led Him up into the Spirit, into the wilderness there. And who was there with Him? It wasn't long after the old devil come, wasn't he? And he come and he tried everywhere in the world that he could. He said, "Nay, I do a lot of paraphrasing. I want you to understand that what the picture there, he was showing you there. He tried everywhere in the world that he could to sway him away from what he was doing in that elect order there that God had set out. And there is an order to it that He had set forth that it must be done that way. And it was going to be done that way. And I'm grateful today that Jesus stood strong there. And He told him, He said, "Now, you get behind me." He knew exactly who he was and what he had to do, and he knew what faced him there, but he was willing to do those things. He was willing, wasn't he? He was willing. Said the Word become flesh. The Word become flesh to walk amongst us, you see. He didn't have to do these things, but He did because He loved you and I. And that don't just mean He's the one that's sitting here in this church house either. That means whosoever. Whosoever. And that's what that means there. There's opportunity there for anyone that would be broke and begin to call out on the name of the Lord. He will reach down and He will do a cleaning upon you. I remember the night, and I remember it well. I remember how broke I was.
I went from 1 minute to being just a small boy to not recognizing anything but playing cars there on about the third or fourth seat back. And then all of a sudden there was a realization that come unto me that I understood plainly. It wasn't voice that come into these ears here. It was a realization that come into this heart that I understand that that great separation that I had heard about had come into my life. And I began to be in trouble, and I crawled my way there to an altar, and I began to beg and plead. But the greatest bit of that prayer, it never come out of these lips. The greatest bit of that prayer, it come from in here. It never come from my mouth. It come from the very groaning of my heart. That's where it come from. If the devil can tempt Jesus, who are you and I? If he can tempt him, who are we? We ain't nothing but disobedient dirt is what we are most time in our life. You won't know the complete truth about it. That's exactly what I am. Probably about 98% of the time in my life, just disobedient dirt. But now don't think he can't entice you with some things. And then to be amazed at what he can entice you with too. A little bit of land over here. We'll get these tore up all about this. We'll get this. We'll get these fighting over us over here. We'll get this land over here and this money over here. And we'll get this bunch over here. There'll be a feuding and a fighting over that. And we'll get this bunch over here. A new car over here. And we'll get this bunch over here about this right over here. And before you know it, he's got every one of you. And me too. We've got us dangled over here with something that don't mean nothing to the Lord. He can't steal what God done for me. But he can steal every bit of the influence I got. Every bit of it. He can steal every bit of it from me. He sure can. He done it for a long time. He done it for a long, long time, he did. Because of the way I live my life, you see. How could I tell anybody anything the way that I was living? And they could see that. They wouldn't have no faith in it. Why would I want to do something like that? Well, look how he's living. What sense does that make? I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. That's a whole lot easier. And it is. It's a whole lot easier to just keep doing what you're doing. It sure is. But if you're lost, it's real easy to slide right off into hell too. It's real easy to do that too. It's real easy. He ain't going to make you do anything. He'll allow you to sit right there Sunday after Sunday. He'll allow it. He'll let you sit there revival after revival. He'll let you sit there and play and talk to your friends. All you want, you just keep on right ahead. You just keep right on going the way you're going with it. And one day, you'll be begging for that dip of water there to cool your tongue. You'll be sitting right beside of him. I promise you that. Why? Because that's what the scriptures teach me, just to deny there is a God, and that's exactly what you are doing. You may say, well, I believe in God. Well, you may talk with this mind up here, and you may believe it in there, but to believe it in this heart, now that's two different places. Two different places. You can go through all over the country, all over wherever you want to go to. When you ask most people, do you believe in God? And most people are going to say, yep. Yep. They're trying to believe this right here. Everybody's trying to figure it out with this right here. I get questions a lot answered to me. And they're trying to figure it out with this right here. First and foremost, we'll never figure nothing out with that. It ain't no count to start with. Mine ain't, I'll tell you that right now. You may have better control over yours than what I got, but I ain't got none of mine. Mine's just plain, just an idiot most of the time. You want to know the truth about it? I don't have control in it, but when things start happening up there in that mind, that don't mean I have to play into it either. I can get down to God, and I can say, move these things away from me. Help me with them. I don't want to think this way. Get them out of my head. I don't have to keep rolling with it either, do I? They're going to come. I promise you, I don't care who you are. It don't matter if you've been to church your whole life, you just started this morning. They're going to come. And if they tell you that they don't think that way, I wouldn't have a whole lot of confidence in them, let me tell you right now. Because this mind up here, that's the devil's playground. That's where he gets us at. That's where he gets us. When I leave here, he'll start immediately. As soon as this service is over. Look what a mess you made. You went from one direction to another direction to this, to that. He's going to try his best to beat me to death with it. That's what he's going to do. Anytime that I try to do what God wants done, he's going to be there. And anytime that you try to do what God wants done, he's going to be there. Now, what are you going to do when he comes? That's going to be the question to it. Are we just going to keep letting ourselves be miserable? We just going to keep finding ourselves in a miserable spot? Are we going to stop and say, no, right now it's going to stop. I'm about to get you away from me. And we drop down there in that heart there and get humble and begin to call out to him. And I guarantee you, the devil can't stand to be around power like that. He has to flee. You're going to have to get down and get that kindled up, huh? My flame, boy, she barely flickered. There at one time, my flame, it just barely flickered. She didn't go out, but she was barely flickering. I'm certainly glad that God take broken vessels and make them hot water again. I'm glad of that. I am that broken vessel that he can make me pliable again. All I had to do was just stop. All I had to do was repent. That's it. I didn't have to repent to be saved but one time. But I had to repent out of the stuff that I'd done to get God back on me, get back where I needed to be at. I had to repent of those things. And when I got there into that spot, let me tell you something. Move on, he told me. He didn't say carry it around with you. He said move on. Move on. He knew about it. He knew all about my deeds and my done, all about it. He knew about a lot of stuff that the people in this world didn't even know nothing about. But he knew about it. He knows about you today. He knows about your intent in your heart. He knows what your desire is. When you come to church on Sunday morning, when you get here and you flop down that seat, he knows your desires before you ever got him in there. He knows these things. He knows what a desire you've got for what you're doing that day. He knows what you're doing, and you can't hide anything from him, and you cannot get away from doing good and evil and him not know nothing about it. It won't happen. It won't happen for none of us. We may be out there on the back 40, out there on the tractor somewhere, not nobody around, but there's one that is around. Constantly. I try today to live my life different in a totally different manner than what I did before. And I fall short a lot. I do. I come up short a lot of times. But like I said, I ain't where I was at. And I sure ain't where I want to be. I hope I can always keep that in my mind. That I ain't where I was, but I ain't where I need to be either. I don't want to get so prideful that I can't learn nothing no more. I'll tell you a story about me. When I first started back preaching, I prayed from days off to days at times. I'd pray, God, just give me a photographic memory. That's what I want, and I don't want nothing else but the Bible. Just that's all I want. I don't have to have nothing else but the Bible. And I prayed for that and prayed for it for ain't no telling how long. And then one day, about 2 years later, I was going down through there, and God said, you'd be too arrogant. That's what he told me. Never said nothing else about no photographic memory either again. Never said nothing else about that again. He told me, he said, you'd be too arrogant. He knew already who I am and what I'd be. He already knew that. But I thought, you know, I thought at the time, you know, well, that helped. Boy, if I knew that and I didn't have to eat more matter, and I could just go to it. Well, he let me know. He let me know quick why I ain't got no photographic memory. He let me know about it. Be too arrogant. Be too prideful. You want something to get in your way? Try arrogance and pride. Yeah. You a preacher, it'll earn you. It will. You get too prideful. You think you're doing something, it'll earn us. We get the big head about us. And we think we get to help all these revivals, and we ain't got to do anything. God's allowed it. But you know, sometimes flesh takes over, don't it? It does. That's the reason why one of the things that I can't stand the worst is when they come up and tell you, well, that was a good job. I can't stand that because I tell you what, the devil sneaks in, tries to blow that head up. He says, well, look at there what you've done. Boy, you've done something now. I can't stand it. I'll be honest. He's either trying to tear me down or he's trying to blow me up so I can't fit through that door. That's what he wants to do to me. And that's what he wants to do to each and every individual here. You know God in the free pardon of sin, he's going to try every way in the world to steal every bit of the light you got. Whatever size it is, if she's barely a flicker or she looks like a bonfire out there, he's going to try his best to steal it. He wants you to cover it up. He don't want the world to see it, but I want the world to know who I am today, who we are today. I think we've blended in too long, haven't we? We have, haven't we? Every one of us. Now, I'm talking to the whole. I'm talking to the whole church, not just this branch at Hilltop. The whole. We've fit in, tried to with them for too long. We've blended in with the world too long. They don't even know who we are anymore. And that's the truth. And sometimes that hurts, don't it? I'm as guilty as anybody in this room. What you don't understand is a lot of times the preacher's up here and he's preaching. He's done mashed his own toes off up there so bad he can't even hardly walk because the message is directed as me as it is to you. I'm just a messenger with it. I just carry what he wants. I ain't no different than anybody else. God just gives it to me in a little different way. That's it. As Brother Barry talked about this morning, we got to turn back to the Lord. Yeah. Now we may be in a part of that swaying where we can still sway it over. We may still be into that where we can sway back over into God's favor. We may be into that, but we may be to the point where God says, all right, I'm going to let you have what you've been wanting. The same way they did back there in the Old Testament, back there when they began to ask for the king, and he told them, he said, I'm your king, but I'm going to go ahead and allow it, but I want you to understand what you're asking for. And boy, it wasn't long they began to understand, didn't they? They began to understand what they was asking for when he started doing things fleshly. Then they seen. They seen it then. But God allowed that, didn't he? He sure did. He sure did. He told them, he said, now I want you to have Saul there, and he's going to be y'all's captain. But they couldn't be satisfied with that, could they? A lot like us today, ain't it? Gives us what we need, but we can't be satisfied with that, can we? Now I got to have a little bit more. I got to have 2 fishing boats. Now I got to have 2 houses, 2 farms. Now I got to have this, I got to have that. And then sometimes God gives it to you and watch you struggle while you're trying to pay for it. I know when it done it. And he talked about it to me many times when we was riding down the road. He said the worst mistake of one of them that he'd ever made. But he said, God allowed me to do it. He did. Told him not to the whole time. He'll allow us. He'll allow you. He'll allow you to get over in that ditch a while. He will. And then when you find yourself over in it, you're going to think, well, how did I get here? How did I get over here? How did I find myself in this awful place? You get away from God, you'll find misery. Pure misery. I got away from Him. And my life was miserable. Miserable. You get away from God and your life will be miserable too. Steve Jobs wrote a piece there. If y'all know who he is, he owned Apple and all that. And he wrote a piece that he said all the stuff that he had. He had enough money. It didn't matter. He'd go buy a whole country. He had enough money to do that. And he wrote a piece about still being completely miserable because it wasn't money that what made all them things that was the happiness. It wasn't things. But a lot of times in my life, I get to where it's things that I try to fill in my life to make me happy. I'm guilty of that. Bigger house, newer car. We all fall short in that, I know I do. But I don't want that to interfere in what I'm supposed to be doing either. I tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather live in a tent on the side of the road and have God on my side to live in the biggest house on top of every hill as is in this country. Because why? I found true freedom. I have found true peace. I have found what God had promised me by just doing what He want done and getting away from everything else. Don't let things bind you up. Don't let things bind you up. They sure will. And that's one of the things that Satan uses. That's what he's dangling in front of us today. Whatever he can find to get a hold of you with. Whatever he can find. Don't let him use it. Don't let him use it. Turn back. Repent. Practice that in your life. You want to find yourself in a good spot? Practice repentance in your life. You may think, well, hey, that ain't very big. Do it anyway. What's it going to hurt? Ain't going to hurt nothing, I guarantee it. Help you in the long run. Get you stronger and closer to the Lord. When He looks down and He starts seeing you repent over Him, little old bitty things like that, that makes Him happy. I'm telling you right now, that makes Him happy, you see, when we start repenting over things that we've done and not a soul around to see it, but me and Him. He's happy with that. He's happy with that. Get away from pride. Get it away from your life. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be prideful. It's dangerous. Dangerous. It's definitely dangerous if you're lost and you don't know God. You just keep hanging on to pride and see what happens to you. People say, well, that's too harsh. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You just keep sitting back and doing nothing. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. You just keep sitting. That's all you got to do. And you'll find yourself in hell one day. You'll wait too long. You'll wait too long. That door of mercy will shut. She's about to one of these days. He's going to close her up again. He's going to shut it. And he's going to say, that's it. And then all those opportunities you had, they're going to be gone then. And you're going to be begging and pleading then, but it's going to be too late, you see. You've wasted it. You've let it go by you. Your time is up. I wouldn't waste my opportunity if I was you. I lived in a world like this day. I don't know if I'd leave church or not, and I was lost. I'll be honest. Y'all may have to have service 24/7, 7 days a week. I found what I was looking for. I found that I wasn't leaving that night till I found what I was looking for. I'd done heard too many times I may not make it home at night, and that scared me to death to know that I could have died in a car wreck at home. And I could have wound up in hell at night. be concerned. You better be. You better be. That's about all God's put upon us. I know it's scattered. But I try to do what God has us do today, and I leave the rest of it alone. As long as I do that, I don't worry with it. As long as I try to put in that effort, and that's all he's asking. He ain't asking me to walk across water, and he ain't asking me to move mountains. He's asking me to take this one foot like this and put it in right here in front of this sudden, just like that. To step out, to make a move, to do something for him. That's all he wants. Effort. Effort. I pray that I can put a whole lot more effort in what I do. I pray that. I can put more effort into doing what I need to be doing. Working for the Lord. I talked about it many times. There was revivals that went on. And I went to a few different places. But I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't go to near enough. Not near enough. Revival going on, we ought to be at it. We should. They used to. I remember Pa telling me if there was a revival going wrong anywhere around, in walking distance or riding a mule, they was there. It didn't matter whose it was, they went. And we wonder why we've got the way we've got. A lot of times we won't even go to our own revival. More or less, somebody else's. They loved the Lord, didn't they? They did. I can remember going as a kid and they'd be shouting out there in the yard before they ever got there. Now, God ain't changed. Michael has. I've got wound up a time or two coming up them steps and up through that sidewalk right there. That ain't saying much, a time or two. Why can't I do that every time I come up through there? I could. If I put the notion in it to doing things of this world that I did of serving God and wanting to be close to Him, I guarantee you I could then. If I spend as much time as in watching sports and watching TV and doing this and doing that and serving the Lord and being close to Him, I tell you what I'd be on fire. I would. I know where I fall short at. I told y'all last revival about 15.3. I think it's about 15.3 hours that I spend a week studying. Now, that's a sorry number, ain't it? Boy, that's just pitiful. What I spend. How much do you spend? How much do you spend? We want things to change. We're going to have to get up off of our hind ends and change things then. That goes for every one of us. Everybody's been saved by God's grace. We've got to get serious about what's going on. We better. We better. Brother Aaron, if you get a song together, that's what all God's put upon us.